Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
New U.S. sanctions on Iran took effect today, 6 months after President Trump pulled the U.S. out of the international nuclear deal.
The sanctions target Iran's shipping, financial, and energy sectors, all key to the country's already struggling economy.
Bombs, which the FBI referred to as improvised explosive devices, were sent to the FBI's bomb laboratory in Quantico, Virginia.
We're in Mexico again tonight as thousands of migrants try to find a faster way to the U.S. border. The White House says it's now getting help from the Mexican.
Breaking news out of Pittsburgh. A man accused in the shooting at the synagogue in Pittsburgh is pleading not guilty, and he also wants a jury trial. You can see he's facing a 44 count. So,
in the final seconds before the Boeing 737 MAX crashed into the water, it was traveling at more than 500 kilometers an hour. All 189 people on board were killed.
You've now entered the House of Mystery.
Crime, conspiracy, history, and science.
With your hosts, Al Warren, Mike Brown,
Julie Sav, Michael Butterfield,
Dr. Joseph Usinski, and Michael Hawley.
Heard on KCAA 106.5 FM Los Angeles,
102.3 FM Riverside,
and 1050 AM Palm Springs.
Lucy, I'm home.
Welcome back into the House of Mystery, and I'm at the controls, Al Warren. And co-hosting today, we've got Eric Shapiro. How you doing, Eric?
Hey, how you doing, Al? Good to be back.
How is the Bay Area?
It's going pretty well, but I feel like we're at the bad end of the curve in terms of being vaccinated. We were early to shelter in place, but it seems like we're very slow to get our shots. I'm starting to feel like I'm the only person I know that doesn't have one. So,
wow. I didn't know that. I didn't hear that. I like I said, I got my shot yesterday, the first
one. Yeah. And how are you feeling?
Well, it was a rough night. It's the AstraZeneca.
So,
You can only, they don't give it to you if you're older than 65, I think.
Oh, so they made a mistake with you. No.
So they did it, but like I said, it was fine. I got it at 2 o'clock and it wasn't until about 1 a.m. it woke me up, and you feel like you got the cold, you got the chills and a headache and all that. So
did that come and go?
Yeah. And it got lighter each time. It came in waves for about 3-4 hours, but they warned me that would happen.
Oh, okay. Good. I'm glad you got it. Yeah. We were, California is very overregulated. And there's like 50 plus health departments and divisions. They all have to get coordinated, so it's a total nightmare. So little by little, people are getting their appointments.
Well, Caitlyn Jenner, I hear she's running for the mayor recall. So
Things can
only get better.
You can only get better. Yeah, hopefully she'll straighten it out.
Yeah, get Kanye West in there and he'll fix it.
Yeah, right. That's what we need.
Well, today we've got an author that. I'm not sure. This is a mystery book, but it's a little bit special, I think. So we'll talk to her about it. It's called All That Shines, and it's the Glitter Bay Mystery Book 2. Diane Bader, thank you for being here.
Well,
thank you, guys.
Ah, so what would you consider this book? Because I know it's kind of the story. So is it, do you just consider this crime fiction or is there something else?
It's actually a cozy mystery. And okay. Cozy mysteries are, you know, kind of the small town, J.D. Fletcher, Murder, She Wrote, that sort of thing.
Is that something you've always been interested in yourself and that's why you got into writing it? Or is it just out of the blue for you?
I started off writing different things, and then I actually entered a contest years ago, and it was to write a mystery story, and I won the contest.
Oh,
so
nice.
I kind of found my niche.
There you go.
With cozies, can you explain to me what is, because I've actually, as an editor, worked on a couple, but I never quite understood, aside from the tone, which is self-explanatory because they're cozy, they feel nice, they're sort of warm. Like, what are the restrictions? Like, they don't get terribly violent or sexual or, like, there's sort of an innocence about them. How would you explain it?
Yeah, absolutely. So the crime usually occurs out of scene, so people don't actually witness it. There's usually not a huge amount of blood, guts, and gore all over. Very minimal swearing. It's usually small town, amateur detective, and just a bit of a sense of humor about them.
Right, right. So there's a playfulness. So it's like, so there's almost an irony, even though there's a murder mystery at the center and there's this sense of mortality, there's something, there's almost like, with the attitude of it, it's almost like a firewall. It's not that serious. It's sort of meant to be a fantasy.
Exactly. It's wow. More of an escape than
an escape
in your face.
Okay. What was it that drew you to that? I mean, aside from the contest, like I guess the better way of asking is, what drew you to write that for the contest?
It was a murder mystery contest. So
okay.
I had never considered writing one until I had to do that one. So
okay. And what made it appealing? Like what made you feel that you could jump in and get the tone and all that stuff?
I grew up on the Hardy Boys, on Lillian Bron Jackson, on all of these different authors who they had these great mysteries, but it wasn't, it was lighthearted. It was like a nice read. Although I've also read a lot of Stephen King and a lot of Dean Koontz and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But it that just appealed to me to have that lighter, more of an escape kind of mentality.
Yeah, there's something nice about it. There's something relaxing about the whole thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Al, are you drawn to that, Al? Do you have a place in your heart for that, or you would prefer something that's more intense?
You know, I don't. I'm interested in it lately because of all the interviews. It seems very alien to me because, you know, I'm very structured, and I've always done nonfiction. And to cross over seems hard, especially in cases like where you get your characters from. So Diane, so your characters in the story, how do you develop them and where do they come from?
This book in particular has been kind of fun because I've started off the series. The first book is two sisters who are running a vintage clothing store. This book in particular, one of the characters is my first transgender character. And I treated her with kid gloves and, you know, because of the genre for one, but because I didn't want to step on any toes. But the person that it was modeled, that Quinn was modeled after, I actually met in person and my reactions were kind of instilled in my characters going, wait, what? you're a woman, but you sound like a man and you have, okay. So it took me back to when I met my friend who has actually read the book and I still have her copy sitting here waiting for her. But it just fascinated me, the whole thought that someone is one thing inside and from all appearances looks like something else. And I tried to treat it as nicely as I could without, you know, kind of, like I said, stepping on toes and making anybody feel bad, but at the same time, bringing out this character who is larger than life and will be back.
So it's important to you that you're involved with your character. So you kind of know it from personal experience. Like, so you take your own experience of meeting this person who's your friend and writing that experience into the book.
Sometimes I do. Sometimes the characters just come from out of my head. But as I said, this woman just fascinated me. And as I followed her journey, it was just, she inspired me. And I just had to share that with everybody.
Wow, that's interesting. So what kind of, when you're putting these characters together, do you have a... you know, you obviously have a storyline and a murder going on, but is there a subtext amongst these characters that you have written into the book?
There's all kinds of little relationships between different characters, like love-hate kind of things. One character in the last book that started out, he's now widowed and has taken up with the local gossip columnist. So, you know, they kind of wander off and do their own things, which is kind of fun sometimes.
So in a way, okay. So from a nonfiction guy to this area, is this almost like a, I don't want to say soap opera, but sort of a, I don't know how you describe that, like a drama, true to life sort of drama going on amongst people. Like I think of Peyton Place, that dates me, but I think of something where you got a lot of people within a town and areas, businesses and relationships and stuff like this, and then you have a murder.
Yeah, it can be for sure. Like if you look at Murder, She Wrote, like the series, the books are still ongoing, and it's, even though it's the murder, she solves the murder, in the background, there's still the relationships between her and the local sheriff and her and the local doctor. And, you know, while they're not really built upon, they're still there.
Right. And in Murder, She Wrote, it changes every single time, right? It's always a different setting. And she inhabits or embodies a different character, right?
No? Not necessarily. Some of it's just her life as a writer and she goes through, but sometimes they do shows from the point of view of her characters or along those lines.
Oh, got it. I always thought it was Angela Lansbury. I knew she was the writer. I always thought it was like Quantum Leap, like every episode she was in some different landscape. Got it. is the town, so as part of the cozy genre, is that, in addition to what you're saying about the relationships, is that town generally part of the genre too? Like you're saying that it's fun because you got the gossip columnist, you got the widow, the widower. Like, is that an ingredient that is important as well?
Oh, absolutely. The town becomes a character at some points as well.
And in your particular story, from what I was reading about it before we got on, and also from the title, it seems as there's an element of fashion, correct?
Quinn, who we are introduced to, is actually a fashion designer. There becomes this whole herd of fashion designers who are after something that come to this small town in Oregon. And part of the story as well isn't just about the wardrobes and the designs and the fashion. And part of it is the main character, Sage, becomes her time to shine as well. So the title kind of has a few meanings.
So when you said small town in Oregon, so do you actually create this town as a character that is taken from a real town, or how do you develop that? Do you go to some place and pick up the vibes from a town and kind of make that into your character?
I have done that before. Normally, a lot of the towns that I have, a couple of them are based very loosely on real towns. This one in particular started as a series for a publisher in California, and they kind of had the rough idea for the town. So I kind of borrowed their part of their idea and tweaked it. So it's really not a real town. It was just completely fictionalized from the start. But there is... one of my series, it's called Oh, I have to think. Sorry. Hilda Wright Mysteries is based in a little place called Sandstone Cove, and it actually is based on a real town on the shores of Lake Erie that I found the perfect kind of setting I wanted, and I kind of took a map and folded the town in half, which sounds kind of funny, but and it worked perfectly because it had exactly what I was looking for, the marina, the beach, the lighthouse, and it just fit beautifully.
Who's your favorite character in this book?
In All That Shines, I'm going to say Quinn. I absolutely adore her.
And so why is that? Is it something about the person itself that you've created, or is it... I'm trying to figure that out because I hear a lot of fiction writers, they comment or talk about their characters, and some consider them like their kids and some are like their family. I hear all these things, and it seems really bizarre to me. So, you know, but I get it, you know, it works. But so what are your characters to you?
Writers are lonely. We use them as our friends.
I guess.
I think Quinn, for me, because she started off, at the beginning of the book, she starts off kind of living her life small because somebody around her is holding her back. And as she is able to reveal her own personality and become herself, she drags Sage along with her. And to me, it's just kind of one of those opportunities where we can just kind of jump out of expectations and just, she can be herself.
So is that strength in that character that you've written? So Quinn can be herself. Is that something that you aspire to be, or do you know what I'm saying? Is that sort of something that you're proud of with yourself, maybe?
I think it's more something I'm trying to be. I mean, so right now working from home and just kind of not being able to do what the things I want to do, it's kind of hard to just be able to jump out and just be. So, yeah, definitely. I didn't plan that when I was writing it, but obviously that was in my mind.
Right. Yeah, it works out in your book. So in a way, you're kind of working out some of your own inner feelings in your book.
Yeah, apparently.
Well, yes. Well, that brings up another thing, you know. So when you do put so much of yourself in there and things like this come out where it's kind of a part of who you are, you're kind of exposing yourself. You're sort of letting yourself be a little bit vulnerable to readers. Where does that courage come from that you feel you can do that?
Sometimes you don't even think about it. Like, you just kind of, you put yourself in the place of the characters and you just write a character. I did a great session this weekend, and it was to write a 10-minute monologue about a character. And you just free flow, free writing off the top of your head. And it was really cool because things were just coming up that, whether they're me or they're not me, it just created this really great character. So even things that might come across, you think, oh boy, this author's got some problems. sometimes it's just things that come out that aren't necessarily things that the writer's struggling with. It's just things that, you know, other people we've come across in our travels and, you know, things other people are dealing with that we're trying to work out in our own heads.
That's interesting. Well, if you want, you read one of Eric's books, and then you'll know.
Yeah, that somebody is troubled. Yeah,
real troubled.
I always think of it. I mean, I'm not trying to aggrandize myself based on what Al's saying, but this was the next thing I was going to say, regardless of myself. I think it's always generous of writers to be open and vulnerable in that way. I think it because like you were saying, you know, writers are lonely. I think people in general experience loneliness. And if a writer is vulnerable, even if you go to the strange or awkward or dark places, I think it alleviates the reader's loneliness.
For sure. I agree.
Wow. Wait, Sage is your protagonist and Quinn is your favorite. Which one is transgender? I'm sorry, I lost track.
Quinn.
Is Quinn, and that's your favorite character. And yeah. I'm always curious about that myself, because I've made a living as a ghostwriter and speechwriter for a lot of my life. And early on in my journey, even when I was a kid, I was aware of this, but in the course of ghostwriting, it became acutely palpable, is that I realized on the inside, in my interior world, I don't feel a very strong sense of gender. And I discussed this with my wife in the last couple of days. I was like, where are you with that? And she feels very strongly feminine. And I feel very strongly either which way. Like, you know, I like being a guy, and I enjoy it, and I enjoy all that comes with it, but on the inside, it's not really a major consideration. And I was curious how that was for you in terms of writing Quinn, who's transgender, if you were tapping sort of your own feelings about how gender can be flexible, or how there's an openness and a freedom around that.
Absolutely. I mean, as writers, we write from male or female perspectives or other. Yeah. Right?
So right.
You have to have that flexibility to be able to think outside the proverbial box and to be able to put ourselves in those different roles to be able to write that character.
Yeah, and I think that's sort of like, and a lot of Al's questions get to the same sort of ideas, that in a way, to get to the spirit of the character in a lot of levels, it transcends gender. So to have a transgender character is a beautiful thing in that way. Where you make your way through to another state of consciousness.
Absolutely.
But it also brings up, like, when you're writing about this, and you were saying this earlier, you touched off about having to be very careful and not to step on toes and stuff. Mm-hmm. Does that actually change then kind of the outcome of your story? Do you have to be so careful? Because if, you know, the cancel kind of culture that goes on, you know, people could catch on to something you might say or do or write, and all of a sudden people are disowning you. So I guess it's on your mind when you write.
It is, especially writing cozy mysteries. You just kind of have to be that little bit more socially aware with that kind of genre. One day I may break out and do something a little more riskier, like a little more mystery, thriller, that kind of thing.
Right.
And I think there's a little more flexibility in those genres than there would be in the cozy mystery.
Right. So you're saying in the context of a cozy, this is something that's a little more radical. But on the other hand, in addition to what Al's saying, because that crossed my mind too, what you're doing by having a major transgender character is you're representing that sort of person, which is a positive thing, which is favorable to the current culture. Where it can get mixed up is within the representation itself, like Al's saying, if you know, somebody perceives that you stepped wrong. But it sounds like in your case, you were very conscious, and I think it's all about motive and intention, or at least ideally it should be, coming from a place of, yeah, let's you know, shed light here, let's represent, let's be loving, and that, I mean, to my mind, that can only be positive.
Oh, absolutely. That was totally my intention, is just to shed the light. I mean, I have lots of friends and family who are transgender, so it's just, it's something I'm still putting my, you know, still I'm trying to sort out in my own head. So that kind of helped me along on the way, and following their journeys just was really interesting for me.
Yeah, that is, it's an interesting thing, and Al and I have talked about it before, because where history is going, a lot of people are very rigid and inflexible around the idea of gender, and they really dig their heels in on that point. On the other hand, on the left side of the spectrum, it seems clear that things are potentially moving in a direction culturally and society-wide where, you know, a multiplicity of genders is more natural. Like, it's less cut and dry than we hypnotized ourselves into believing for all these years, which to me is liberating. But it can, yeah, but it is, it can potentially become a delicate subject.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. There seems to be a lot of anger, behind it. That's the
For people that can't accept anything outside the norm,
it's sort of unusual. I'm not sure where that anger comes from. It surprises me sometimes, you know.
Yeah, it's mystifying. Yeah.
Now, your victim, the person that gets murdered, Is that someone you know, someone you really like to have murdered in life, or?
No. No, that was just a completely made up character. I have had one of those situations, but I'll never tell.
No, the very first
fiction. Yeah, keep that off the record, yeah.
Yeah, no, the very first fiction writer I interviewed was J.D. Horn, and he said that he used to kill off people he didn't like. You know, it could be from the service person at the grocery store to someone cutting in online. He would take that character and kill them in one of his books. So I found that fascinating. So I never go shopping with him. And then I start asking other authors. And it's like, well, so is there someone that kind of inspired that person that gets murdered in your life, or someone you've seen even on TV or something? It's just, it's all a new character. It's a new idea for me. So that's why I ask these types of questions.
So, I mean, I know you weren't asking me, Al, but I'm so superstitious. I don't think I've ever killed anybody I know in fiction. I'm the type that would think it would happen to them. It would be my fault. So I'm like, yeah, let me just stay away from all of that.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one, Eric. Yeah.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, it'd be a really bad 70s detective series, like Barnaby Jones or something. Right. It'd be like, you know, and the guy that writes them, that Lee Goldberg, and he's been on quite a few. We've talked to him lots, and he's written all those shows for years. He uses the same stories over and over again, right? But I just, it's funny to hear all these people that he kills off. But,
wow.
So what is it you want people to get out of this book? So when someone picks up this book, you know, all that shines, and they take it home and read it, what is it you hope they take away?
You know, I write to entertain, and I don't always put in a lesson. But I know with all that shines, it's just, you know, be who you are inside. And that's the one thing that I know I've taken away from that book is just dig deep and follow your dreams.
That's really nice. And that's also, to my mind, the way I perceive it, because I'm not so into the fashion world. But I've always perceived, you know, the sense of pride and esteem that goes with that world is very consistent with what you just said. I mean, in terms of just being dynamic and being fabulous and, you know, just expressing yourself through the way you appear in the world. So it seems like you chose a really perfect sort of social milieu to express that.
Well, thank you.
So where are you going to go with this series? This is book two. So you're obviously planning quite a few books then?
Right now I'm like... one more for sure. And then we'll see how that one goes. Maybe two. And then I have a feeling Quinn's going to end up having her own book or two to tell her story. So,
oh, nice. Oh.
Yeah. So we'll see where that goes.
It's a spinoff series.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Well, I just, I find this another part of this writing to be very interesting. When I'm doing the true crime books, of course, you try to meet as many members of the family, of the the victims, the murderer, and all that. You try to put together a whole scenario of people and how they interact. So you must be doing the same thing with your cozy town and all of the people that go amongst themselves and their relationships. But over a period of books, it must be difficult to maintain everyone's place, so to speak. I don't know.
Sometimes I have to go back. I used to work with an agent who was in Virginia, and she gave me this great sheet for characters, and that we would send to her when we would send her a book. And I keep one for every new book, and it just helps me keep track of the character, what they look like, how they talk, what their role in the story was, what their occupation, the name of their job, those kind of things. So it's a great idea, especially if you're writing a mystery or any kind of series, just to keep those key notes just in a file or somewhere close at hand, so when you're writing or when you're editing, more like, you can go through and just double check all those.
Well, do you ever go back to your older books and read them again and kind of try to figure out if you would change them?
Funny enough, my Gilda Wright series, I had published originally with a publisher in California, and then she kind of did some changing up, and I got the rights back to the whole series. And that's exactly what I did. I went through the three books, head to toe. We did new covers, the whole bit. And then I actually have a publisher here in Canada who published them, and we've been going crazy since. I'm actually working on a new one for August that will be coming out. So.
Oh, that's awesome.
Wow. So you're just moving around. Well, California, they're dangerous down there, right? Approach with caution, right? You never know what they're going to do, So what inspires you in writing? What kind of gives you the flame?
I've always loved to tell stories. Just when I think I'm finishing a book and I'm going to take a break, no. Then by the time I get from my office down the hall to the living room, I have a new idea. So it's one of those ongoing things that my mind, that's just the way my brain works, is it's constantly telling me stories.
Yeah, you're hearing voices, right?
I'm hearing voices.
Be careful, as long as they don't
have...
It's okay,
it's the running joke in my house.
Start doing weird things, It's... So how do you know when your story's done? I ask that because, again, as being fiction, how do you know when you're going to end it?
It's funny because I've been working on one now for a year and a half, and it just never feels done. It just feels like there's something more that needs to be there. Yet I'll work on another book. I've written two books in between there, and I can always seem, it's just kind of instinctual when they're done. When the story goes from beginning, middle, end, and it flows and it works, then I'm done.
Is the one that's taking longer a mystery?
It is a mystery. And okay. I'm not sure why it's taking me so long and so tough to do this one, but...
Okay. So it's not the inevitability. Because I would figure within a mystery, I'm kind of allergic to the word formula, but there's some... eventually it's going to get solved. So, yeah. But why do you feel that the solution or resolution is eluding you in that one, or might be?
Well, it's written and it's resolved. There's just... I'm not 100% sure why I'm not comfortable with it yet. Mm-hmm. I've got one more good edit I'm going to do, and if I'm just going to send it out and see what happens, because there's nothing more I can do on it.
It's hitting a note you're not used to. You're like, huh, is this full enough? Is this there? Or maybe
absolutely.
Yes. You'll find out.
Do you ever want to write with another person, another author?
I am.
Oh.
I have a friend who, you know, he's in his 60s. He wants to leave his legacy, so he's writing a book. So he gives me the Coles notes, and I write out the book. So it's a slow process, but it's kind of fun. You know, it's a fantasy, so it's something I'm not really used to, but I'm learning very quickly how to write a fantasy novel.
Oh, nice.
Well, I mean, that's the good thing, right? You know, when you kind of go through it. And would you ever co-author with someone, but as in writing a story with someone rather than kind of a memoir?
For sure.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, so you're pretty open.
You know what? If we work well together and it's a great story, why not? Like, put in another great story to the world.
Yeah, you can get into horror there and write with Eric here, right?
He's yeah, what Al is really doing is trying to set something up.
Oh, not at all.
No. I'm always just prodding.
Diane, how do you do it when you're co-writing? Like, what do? You pass it back and forth? Is there a lot of brainstorming? Like, what does the process look like?
Well, the person I'm writing this book with, it's his book. So he is writing, like I said, he kind of gives me Cole's notes. So he'll write out a few pages of notes per chapter, and then I'll flesh it out and give it to him when I'm finished. And he's still working on the book part itself. So I just kind of put my hands up and go, okay, whenever the next chapter comes, I'll work on it. So.
Oh, nice. And it seems like that seems very productive. Like it moves well. And then, of course, when he gets the chapter back, it seems like he's pleased with what you're doing and it keeps flowing.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Because that can easily, because I've ghostwritten for so many people and edited in so many cases, that can easily go the other way. I think it's all tied up in you guys having a degree of shared intuition about it.
That's it. Yeah.
What would you say to someone that is newer to writing? They're considering writing a book and doing what kind of advice would you give them?
Actually, right now I'm sort of mentoring a couple different people. So it's just write what you love. Make sure you find a good editor. That's so important.
Yeah.
And don't give up, because, you know, you might just come up with something really wonderful.
Yeah, and a lot of the reviews or the noise around you isn't necessarily, you shouldn't focus on that, right?
No, I hate to say it, but there's so many trolls out there. You constantly get these one stars, and people that give you the one stars haven't even looked at your book. They couldn't tell you what it was about. They just posted it because.
Yeah,
my wife and I run a newspaper, and we get so much grief on the basis of headlines for articles from people that have clearly never read them. It's like, you know, they'll write completely outraged letters. It's like, just please, you know, can't you take 5 more minutes and see what that was about? People get pretty extreme.
Yeah. They do.
Do you care about your reviews then? Like, I don't mean it like you don't care about what people think or if they like it or not, but do you actually check them out every day and make sure you're okay? Or
I'm not every day for sure, because I'd probably go insane. I do check them out from time to time. I don't make it my every single day I have to be loved, you know.
Yeah,
but it's nice to read the great words, and it's nice to see good reviews, and it's also nice to get feedback to say, oh, hey, you know what? This isn't really the way you wrote it. It's okay, but that's not right. So, you know, it's good to have the feedback. It's just, like I say, it's the troll things that can get you down if you really pay close attention to them. I actually had somebody write a review, and they said that they hated the main character, they hated the story, but they could totally relate to the main character. And they just kind of went, I have no idea what that means. But
yeah, wow. Okay. It's like they would prefer it if they had, it sounds like envy, like they would prefer it if they had been the one to execute it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I've had, yeah. I can top that. I've had people say that they lost their luggage at the airport. on a review.
Oh, that was it. That was, they just happened to bring that up during.
Yeah, and I was thinking, yeah, well, so what does that got to do?
Yeah, with what are you talking about?
It's just like you had a bad day at the airport, and so you're writing it as a review, but it makes no sense to me.
Yeah, it's not very helpful. Crazy. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah, you know, I think it usually comes from envy. Do you agree with that, Diane? Like when it comes right down to it, I mean, why would you sit on the internet and just start hating on people?
Oh, that's it. It's just write your own book. Like, put all that energy into something, you know, that you can actually use.
Yeah, productive, yeah.
Yeah. Wasn't that called the Turner Diaries or something? Write all your hate into a book.
You know? Right, that was the one. That's the.
Oh, isn't that the one? God, yeah. It's just some nasty stuff. Hey, so when things are really rough around you, like, you know, I always say this, for the last year and year plus, you know, all the tensions around U.S. and Canada, you know, you got COVID and you've got anti-maskers and you've got Donald Trump and you've had all this stuff going on. Does that seep into your writing?
I've really tried not to let it, and especially with the cozy genre, I've kind of kept it out of my books right now just because people need an escape. They need a break. You know, even watching television shows and everybody's running around with their masks and there's like kind of hate speak and stuff. I turn it off. Like, we all need a break.
Yeah.
I think that's a great way of describing it. I actually, during the midst of the chaos with COVID, I was hired by a client to edit her cozy mystery. And I, you know, when I went into it, I was like cringing. I was like, I don't know if I can get into this. I'm not going to, you know, I'll do the job, but this is going to be, you know, like hard for me. But then I can't tell you how much I enjoyed it. I was like, wow, it's great because it taps into such, like you said, a place of escapism. So I think it's a really positive genre to work in.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it for sure.
So do you think that, if bad things are happening around you, you'll tend to write lighter rather than darker? Is that it?
For now, maybe eventually I'll write something on the darker side, like that is there and I have notes and stuff. But for now, as I said, like it's a great escape. It's just you put yourself in a whole different little world and you don't worry about vaccines and all that stuff. So, you know, you just kind of can live in a different place for a while.
Well, let me tell you, you need to put it, you should write a character into this story, into this series, and call him Bill Gates. And he's going around putting in computer chips. and they're going to stab us with those so they can follow us. And that could be kind of like in the background. Until maybe.
Don't give away your good ideas now.
Yeah. Book 7 or 8, all of a sudden.
Yeah. Save that for later in the series.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah. Down the road. Yes.
So, do you have a fashion sense? Do you really love fashion yourself? Is that why it's involved in this story?
I like what I like. I'm not one of those that I hang on every new trend and that sort of thing. We have a show, Fashion Runway, I've watched a couple of times just to get a feel for the fashion industry and stuff and how they create things, which some of them I'm going, I clean my floor with some of those. But I always find it fascinating, the people that live and die by fashion. So I think that was because of that, my main characters, they have this vintage clothing store, so they keep the stuff that they truly love and hopefully their customers truly love as well.
Pretty interesting. So who are your favorite writers other than Eric?
I know, right?
Yeah.
Like I've read so many different authors, and I'm reading one right now, and I don't have the book in front of me. He's a Spanish writer, and I just absolutely love his book. It's called The Shadow of the Wind, and I can't think of his name offhand.
Does it state, do you stay in mysteries, like when you read other people's?
I read a little bit of everything, horror, mystery. I just had a couple of kids' books I was reading to review for someone. I'm pretty open with genres. So I find I learn a lot from different genres as well. So I don't just stay within mystery, or I love thrillers. So it's just, this is my area that I prefer to write right now. So
his name, by the way, The Shadow of the Wind, is Carlos Ruiz Zafón.
Thank you. That's it. Wonderful book.
Oh, nice. Yeah. And then I feel, my take, I'd like to hear your opinion, Diane. My take on different genres is that each one is just really a different emotion. I mean, like you said, you were getting into the swing of things with fantasy. I mean, I just feel that regardless of the genre, not that each one can't be mastered or doesn't have different complexities, but I think its reason for existing generally is the emotional state it puts you in. Do you see it that way, or what is your take on that?
Yeah, I love that. That's 100%. You know, you get the cozy, the romantic, and the,
yeah,
you know, the fear-based. Everybody right. likes to get horror now and then.
Yeah, yeah. And I think horror is important from that standpoint. I mean, everybody knows what it's like to have a nightmare. So it's just that it's that side of humanity. But in the cozy sense, it is. There's a romance side. I love that they're called cozies, too, because that is such a good feeling, just to feel cozy in a blanket by the fireplace. And that's very appealing.
That's it. Rainy day.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Rainy day.
No. There you go.
Alan's never done it. Yeah.
No, 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 no. I'm just a nasty. Yeah.
A coarse individual.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. That's it. Well, it's pretty interesting. Now, do you have a website and a place that you want people to come find you, and if they want to stalk you, maybe?
Oh, for sure. Oh my goodness. Yeah, my website is pens, paints, and paper.com. And my blog, I actually do a blog where, and it's dbader at Blogspot. And I do a blog called Escape with a Writer. So I'm always promoting other writers as well. So they are stalking me because they want to be on my blog. So. But it's always a great place to meet new writers and find out about new books and new releases. So,
what do you think of the publishing world nowadays? You know, with Amazon and everything going on, do you like it better now?
It makes it tougher for certain levels of authors. I mean, anybody can write a book, do spell check, and put it on Amazon, and you're never guaranteed a good book.
Yeah,
I've read a few that they would be great books if they had somebody to edit. And, you know, that's a huge thing, is people think they can just write it, put it up there, and they'll sell a zillion copies, right? And then you get people that are going through publishers, and right, my publisher is kind of small to medium in size, so it's tougher for us to get into the market and to do big sales because of all of these other books that people are going, oh, buy my book, it's free.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's crazy, actually. You get people that know you write a book, and they'll say that to you at a book signing or something, and then they go, what advice do you give them? And you say, well, get a really good editor. Get someone that can proofread and edit your stuff.
That is good advice.
You know, but then I had a lady turn to me and say, well, I can't do that. And then I said, why? And she said, well, because this story comes from God. So it's like, oh, okay. Well, you know, you win, sure, whatever. You know, I mean, if God's speaking to you and you're writing his book, then you don't need to talk to me. It's kind of like, I don't know what to say.
Yeah, go with God's advice.
Yeah, he's better at it than I am. Really. I mean, you know, I barely get by. So,
yeah.
So, what's next for Diane?
What's next? I'm just writing the next book. There's always another book.
How long does it take you to do one of these?
Pardon me?
How long does it take you to write one of these books?
It just depends. I've done NaNoWriMo, which is National Novel Writing Month, in November, and I've written a complete novel in a month. Otherwise, we're looking at maybe 6 to 12 months.
Wow. What do you find the most difficult thing about it?
Editing.
Oh, yeah.
As always.
Why do you find it difficult? Is it dull? Is it just plain flat out hard? Or how does that work?
It's actually reading the book and going, I can't believe I spelt that way.
Stuff like that, yeah.
So it's just looking back and going, oh my gosh, I can't believe I made that mistake. Oh, why did that guy suddenly have dark hair instead of blonde hair? You know.
Oh, yeah. God bless you for doing it. A lot of the authors you're talking about never get there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You have to be. So what do you think? Is the story the most important thing in the book, or is it more about the phrasing and the editing?
They go hand in hand, really. Like, if you have a good story that's well edited, your readers are going to love it. You know, if you have a great story, but your editing is horrible, they might not get past the first page. So they'll never know how good your story was.
Do you think people are better at writing and reading today than they were, let's say, 40 years ago?
No, because I think they're too impatient.
I agree with that. And the whole texting thing, there's some pretty wicked spelling out there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, laziness, kind of, I think. But, you know, what do I know? I'm the blonde one when I have hair.
you just managed to hit like three really uncomfortable buttons at once.
Well, that's what I do. Yeah. Well, Diane, it's been a real pleasure, and I'm glad you came on the show. The book we were talking about is All That Shines, and it's the Glitter Bay Mysteries Book 2. And our guest has been Diane Bader, who writes this. Thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you, guys. This has been a lot of fun.
To find out more about our show, guests, or to listen to past shows from our archive, please go to www.houseofmysteryradio.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.